Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. Political tension between the current and the former presidents in Kyrgyzstan has further escalated this week with the arrest of three most closest allies of former President Atambayev. Though authorities call the detention of these individuals former Prime Minister Isakov, former Mayor of Bishkek Kulmatov, and Member of Parliament Artikbayev a temporary measure, but it's unclear what awaits for them going forward. Their detentions are connected to corruption cases, specifically involving the modernization of the power plant in Bishkek, but the circumstances and the timing of the arrest raises a series of questions as they coincide with increasing discussion about stripping Atambayev of his presidential immunity. Now, is it just a pure fight against corruption, or there are bigger issues behind the curtain here? More importantly, what comes next, and where is this power struggle between the current and the former presidents are leading the country? To discuss all this, I am joined by Dr. Mehdi Tolganov, professor at the American University of Central Asia, Dr. Asel Dolat Keldiba, senior lecturer at the Kyrgyz-Turkish University Manas in Kyrgyzstan, and Boris Panier, the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owozi. Welcome on board, colleagues.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi.
Very, very nice to have you. So let's start, Mehdet, with you. What is the latest after the detention of Isakov, Kulmatov and Artikbayev? Anything new?
Yeah, I think that was the latest news, actually. And it's been, to some extent, awaited because there was this rising tension in regard to this mounting pressure on possible corruption charges. And regarding question, of course, in Kyrgyzstan, in all of that anti-corruption campaign which we had under the previous presidents as well, is whatever look corruption quite often can may look like as a selective political struggle.
Yeah. Asel, about these names, Isakov, Kulmatov, Artikbayev.
Yeah.
How significant they are and how significant is their detention?
Well, that's very significant because one thing is that Jeenbekov, the current president, was considered as the successor of Atambayev and somebody who would most likely continue his politics. Mm-hmm. And moreover, that by placing Jeenbekov into the presidency, Atambayev might pursue a plan to come back to make a big coming back to politics via electing himself into the parliament and becoming the prime minister. Mm. That's why he initiated these big changes in the constitution, basically to make the government, the prime minister, stronger. And he initiated these changes in the late 2015, if I'm not mistaken, just a year or so before his term would end. So back then it was already suspicious. Why would he do that? Although Atambayev kept saying that there is no way he will come back to politics this way, and it's not a second Putin scenario in Kyrgyzstan. And therefore, everybody awaited that Jeenbekov would not be an independent figure, would not be an autonomous president, but would most likely realize Atambayev's politics. And now, therefore, these arrests just show to the society, sends a strong message that he is an independent figure. He is a president, and therefore, he's cleaning up the space for himself and for his entourage. So it's a very clear message.
Talking of Atambayev, Bruce, so there has been some reaction by him after some time. What was that? What he was saying, and how did you read that message?
Well, he came out after Isakov and Kulmatov were detained and finally just said that, in his opinion, this was revenge. And they were just going after people that were in his administration. You know, this is a tough one, for sure. Obviously, with, you know, this centers around the failure of the thermal power plant in Bishkek. A lot of money went missing. Someone is responsible for all this money that's been missing. You know, Atambayev, he claimed when he was in that, you know, one of his priorities was always to clean up corruption. And, I mean, he was saying that even after he was out of office, that, you know, that I did my best to really clean up corruption. And then now, you know, they're investigating what happened to all this money that was supposed to go toward this TETS, this thermal power plant, and finding out that a lot of it was stolen, and it seems some of his officials were responsible for some of this or knew something about it, certainly. But from his point of view, if he really did believe that he was doing a good job cleaning up corruption, this has got to be quite a shock to him, and I can see where he would get the idea that maybe they were just out to get him, and they're slowly working their way up the ladder of former officials until they finally get him. You know, that said, it's hard to believe. You know, he said in his statements that there's no way these people could have done this kind of thing, because they just didn't have the opportunity. He would have noticed something before they had done that. So I'm not. It's hard to say exactly where the truth is, but certainly the one thing we know for sure is the money's gone. Someone took it, and of course now we have the former first deputy prime minister Shadiyev, when it looked like they were going to have some charges against him, he fled the country, which also looks very bad.
Yeah, certainly Atambayev is squeezed. So is there anything that he can do about this, Medved?
I think if you ask him, it's quite difficult because there are no significant leverages practically he has in his hands at the moment, because he's not controlling any law enforcement positions, general prosecutor, GKNB, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the only things which perhaps he may have is so-called compromat, whatever he may have negative information about those who are in power now. But seemingly, it's nothing he can do at the moment. And then perhaps he and his team, they realize that at some moments, whatever publicly he may do quite often can be counterproductive. So there is something as a certain Zugzwang or something, but whatever he does, it may necessarily worsen the situation. And that's, I think, it's like a two-sided game at the moment. Mm-hmm. How far
in addition, incoming president may go. If I can just add to that, is that his own party is just disintegrating in front of our eyes. People are leaving his party, his former fellows are abandoning him. Basically, the party is fading, and the party that was his last leverage is also losing the power, I would say, in the parliament. Hmm. And his former fellows would probably now try to join the current president's team.
For Atambayev, I think it's an issue. Is he becomes a liability for the party and for the whole group itself, or as an asset?
The future of party is also, in question. The head is Atambayev, and then the actions party is taking appears to be against Atambayev. Kind of very confusing situation there, Bruce. What does the timing of these detentions tell you?
Obviously, they had to start somewhere with this investigation and try to figure out, track the trail of where all this money went to. You know, it's not unusual when you're doing something like this that you move up the ladder as you go along, that you start to find out that this official took money, but he was able to do that because this other official either knew about it or was taking money himself and or herself and signed off on them doing this. So if you're looking at this from outside, it seems like they're working their way toward Atambayev. Uh-huh. Certainly, his prime minister, his uh-huh. last prime minister, is now detained. The guy that was the mayor of Bishkek for a while when he was there is detained. Uh-huh. All kinds of officials that are closely connected to him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for a person, as I mentioned, a person that billed himself as a champion in the fight against corruption, to see this and really he's either complicit or he's incompetent, but there doesn't seem to be any other way you can look at this at the moment. And unfortunately for him, his last year in office, he became a very unsympathetic figure to many people in Kyrgyzstan and many people outside Kyrgyzstan. Uh-huh. His best chance would have been to say, I simply wasn't aware and I couldn't have been. But I think there's so much bad feeling that he engendered against himself by putting people like Omurbek Tekibayev in prison or at least not doing anything to prevent that, and his feud with the media. And of course, we know that very well from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, that he made a lot of enemies, and it's easy to believe that he's complicit. He's not ignorant. He actually knew something about this and just didn't do anything about it.
This is the situation Atambayev is in. But on the other side, what Jeenbekov is motivated by. So let's talk a little bit about that. So these arrests are, latest in the ongoing battle between the former and Kyrgyz presidents. But what's at stake here, and why the corruption talk only targets Atambayev's allies? And where is this leading Kyrgyzstan? We will continue Majlis podcast discussing these and many other questions shortly. For first let me recap the debate today. On the Majlis, we are discussing the significance of latest high-level detentions in Kyrgyzstan and its possible implications. Joining me in the discussion are Dr. Medet Toluganov, Department Chair and Professor at the American University of Central Asia. Dr. Esel Dolat Keldiba is joining us, who is the Senior Lecturer at the Kyrgyz-Turkish University, Manas. And Bruce Panier, the Editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia Bloc, Ishlak Awazi. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, colleagues. So what is this all about? I mean, what the President Jeenbekov really wants to see happen? You know, when we started seeing the detention in its early days, our understanding was that Jeenbekov wants to push Atambayev out of political scene. And some of our Kyrgyz colleagues also would say on this podcast, President Jeenbekov wants to shut Atambayev up. Didn't he really achieve this goal, Medet?
I think for Jeenbekov, maybe there are two, at least just two goals in the whole story. So on one hand, to get a practical control and with the key positions, which are functionally and importantly belong to the presidential post, is over security services. And in that sense, he was able to do that in the few last weeks and months. And the second is to get rid of that image of being Atambayev's puppet. Of course, everyone knows that elections were won mostly and thankfully due to Atambayev's efforts last year. And that image of successorship, of passing the presidential position from Atambayev to Jeenbekov, I think that's something which will damage Jeenbekov's presidency since the start. Mm-hmm. And he realized that. And that's the whole events which we're having unfolding nowadays. It seems to be playing in hands for Jeenbekov in order to get rid of that image. Because as soon as Atambayev will be gone, well, not completely, but at least there is no positive image of Atambayev in the politics in Kyrgyzstan in any possible ways, and it makes sense for Jeenbekov free.
Yeah, these points are well taken, Medet. But President Jeenbekov is embarking all these crackdown under the name of fight against corruption. Legitimate sounding argument, but when you look at the names that he's targeting, it raises kind of question why he isn't moving beyond power plant in his fight against corruption. Why Atambayev allies are the only target here?
Well, because it helps to redistribute positions from those who are having close linkage and loyalty to Atambayev, and at least to neutralize them. It's quite difficult to say what's the loyalty base of Jeenbekov at the moment, because that's, I think, something which is being still being shaped. But at least he's trying to deprive Atambayev that loyalty base which he had enjoyed at the moment so far. Mm-hmm. And how far it would go in the future, of course, is a question, because at some moment, of course, questions will come up again. What's issues with the fight against corruption? Of course, this heating power plant was a major sticking point, and whatever and whoever was concerned around this issue, and first of all, those who are linked to Atambayev were targeted. But of course, the questions will come, and they're already coming. What is the real plan of incoming president in terms of what he's trying to do with corruption? What's about various other people who are connected to corruption? And there is so-called Raim Zemilion guy, who used to be one of the key officials in the customs services, and seemingly and allegedly has close connection to the incoming president and so forth. These questions are coming. Seemingly for Jeenbekov, at the moment, there are some pragmatical moments or aims trying to get as much as possible around this issue of heating plant and whoever is engaged in corruption with that issue.
Asel, you wanted to say something on this. So is this all about only corruption, Asel, or there is something more behind
it? Yeah, I would like to think a little beyond that case and to bring maybe a little bit of historical perspective, although we know that politics in Kyrgyzstan is rather short-termed, but I think we should not forget that basically their parliamentary elections are scheduled for 2020, right, in 1 year and a half. And as Medet rightly pointed out, that we don't know what is actually Jeenbekov's electorate, because there was, back into the presidential elections, there was a conflation between the Atambayev's electorate and Jeenbekov's electorate. Mm-hmm. So we don't know who was really electing Jeanbekov? What is his loyalty base? What are his legitimacy in the regions? So I think that's also a little bit in the preparation for that important period where he would need to build a strong coalition in the parliament by basically building up his own party. And for that, he needs to prepare for the elections. And that's one thing. And then there is also, I think, an important economic perspective, because currently we see the booming of Chinese projects in Kyrgyzstan. Suddenly, all these roads are constructed. There is investment into different spheres of economy. And I think for Jeanbekov, it would be also crucial to capitalize on this current infiltration of Chinese money flows into the economy. And for that, he indeed would need to control the positions and control how the government is effectively realizing these projects, because this would help him to win the parliamentary elections and maybe this second term, although it's prohibited in the constitution. So I think these perspectives are also playing out a little bit currently in his attempt to basically bring his own elite into the power. And in that sense, I think it's quite remarkable that he succeeded to bring these changes in a peaceful way without any third revolution. Because we know that March Revolution and the April Revolution was also partly about changing the elites, right? And he managed this time to bring this change without staging any process, without organizing anything of that sort. So it's a kind of, let's say, peaceful, not necessarily positive, but change of leads.
I'm kind of still obsessed with this corruption discussion in Kyrgyzstan, because this is the main topic that, at least in public, Jeanbekov is driven by when he's taking actions against the former top officials, allies of the Atambayev. Asal, just to continue with you, talking about this power plant, as it is the center of this corruption discussion. So when this was taking place, all these scandals were happening in that power plant, Jeanbekov himself was head of the government. So how he explains the fact that they are touching everyone, but this scandal is not reaching to him?
Well, I think his office is not yet pronounced itself fully on these issues. And that's also the difficulty of the Kyrgyz system, if you want. It's the reasons are quite structural. There is such a frequent change of prime ministers and all other state officials that basically it's very difficult to trace down and to bring in, to justice all their guilty people. That would make quite a long list. But yes, it's a valid question, and that's why some of the deputies at the parliament were raising this question, including those who were arrested, that if they are arrested, that Jeanbekov should also actually be brought to justice, because he also participated.
Interesting question. Bruce, what's your take on this? And also, you know, this detentions and the discussions on this power plant corruption things kind of coincides with the other discussion, which is about stripping Atambayev of his presidential immunity. Any connection do you see here? Or is it just a coincidence?
Well, I would say there's definitely a connection. The first thing to remember is that a popular campaign promise or promise many official in Kyrgyzstan is going to be to root out corruption. It was huge in the last parliamentary elections. That was one of the big things. I mean, Alassane and Esel and Medit will certainly remember. Paros is, you know, everywhere around town. So, it's something that appeals to the whole population. So it's always going to be a winner if you say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight corruption. So that's certainly one thing. Now, you know, Atambayev, there's always suspicions about what was going on there. You know, let's face it, Tekebayev raised questions about what the cargo was on that plane, the unfortunate tragedy when it crashed outside Bishkek, where Atambayev had made his money from. And we know that Tekebayev ended up being put on trial and is still in jail, actually, at the moment. So even when Atambayev was in, there were questions about what was going on in his administration and with him personally. So, you know, it's probably a fair bet to say that someone has an interest in this thing leading up to him. Now, we were just talking, you know, you just asked the question, why isn't Jeanbekov involved in this? Well, his office, his spokesperson did kind of respond to this a couple months ago by saying when the contracts were signed, he wasn't there. He was still down in the south. And they kind of, And then, all of a sudden, Tamir Sariyev's name came up and Jo'omart Otarbayev's name came up because they were prime ministers and maybe they had something to do with it. And I think this is one of the things that kind of leads people to believe that maybe this is revenge, is because when the contract was signed and all this stuff was happening, then why hasn't Tamir Sariyev and Jo'omart Otarbayev and others, why aren't they like in the spotlight? Why isn't the heat on them at the moment, too? Because they were also in office and they actually came in at a time when they would have had much more opportunity to try to take away money or know that it was being taken away. Jay and Beckoff came in late a little bit on this. And so, he that's his out, is he can say, look, when all the stuff was signed and they started work on this, I wasn't in this office. But certainly, the way it's shaping up, you got to think that Atambayev is somebody's target in this investigation. Oh. Again, if Atambayev had quietly left the political scene after his term in office was over, then you're always going to wonder, would this be happening at all?
Is it really? The way I look into this, Bruce, is a little bit different. Look at this from this perspective. Like, if he was not in charge of the country when power plant situation took place, then there were a couple of people whose prison terms have been reduced recently who were detained during the previous administration, and when I believe Jean Beckoff was head of the government. The decisions that President Jean Beckoff is taking appears to be in contrary to or nullifying in nature of the decision taken when he was in the government. He was head of the government. What does this tell you?
Well, I mean, as far as some of these people being in jail, he could easily make the argument that judiciary is independent. I don't personally buy that, yeah. But these people had their day in court and they were put in jail. How much did he have to do with that during his time when he was prime minister? I don't know. How much did he know about it is a different question. But was he motivated to put them in jail, or were they perceived as political enemies by someone else who was in the government and he was just a bystander, so to speak, during this process? It might be early. I don't know. There's suspicions. I know I've talked with our Kyrgyz service that a lot of these people that are in jail probably be amnestied pretty soon. I don't know why, what they're waiting for, but they reduced the sentence of Bektur Hasanov and people like that that were all messed up. And that was kind of a strange case to begin with. And Tekibayev probably get out, one of these days. It would be, I don't know, it'd be more consistent if he would let them all out. But for whatever reason, it's not the time to do that. But I don't see that he's really, worst of the decisions made under the Atambayev administration are at best thinly connected to Jay and Beckoff. I don't think you can hold him responsible for a lot of this stuff. Again, how much he knew about what was going on is a different question. But was he a participant in it? That's really hard to say.
Let me take Medvedev's point in that. So, some of the decisions that were taken during Atambayev. So can Jean Beckoff say that I wasn't party to that?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to be totally not complicit in many things, especially if you take a position of a prime minister. Even though the whole deal, if you're talking about the power heating plant, has happened 4 or 5 prime ministers ago. But then the question, of course, what is the level of political and the other aspect, of course, legal or criminal liability? And then who can start and initiate the process of making someone accountable? Of course, at the moment, the leverage is in Jean Beckoff's hands in that sense. And that's what he's starting to trying to drive the whole process, is trying to look at the start of the whole moment of the issue with the TBA, with the power heating plant, that ex-Prime Minister Isakov, he is held accountable, seemingly allegedly, because he was a head of the Foreign Policy Department, the Presidential Administration, and allegedly he was driving the whole deal towards this Chinese company and so forth and so forth. By that, leaving clean those who are like in between other prime ministers, including Jean Beckoff. And in that sense, of course, it doesn't help him not totally get rid away of questions, because people somehow have still questions in their mind. Mm-hmm. And expectations about the whole campaign, it's something which is an issue, and as a subject is and how to manage is still being, I think, approached, including by presidential administration. And seemingly the strategy is trying to drive it towards the start of the whole process. And the same comes not only about the heating plant. There is also ongoing scandal with the History Museum. This extravaganza exhibitions, which is considered by public largely as inappropriate and so forth, and who started all of that and so forth. So I think in all these kind of moments of corruptions-related issues, there is a strategy trying to drive away, of course, attention from yourself. But it's understandable because everyone and any president was doing that in the past, and J.B. Egbert does the same. But how well he can manage to get attention from himself, it's still a question we have to see how successful that would be.
You know, you kind of raised a very interesting question that every other president was doing that, the same thing in the past, and so he's doing the same thing. Whether this is really becoming a culture in Kyrgyzstan to persecute all the former presidents and prime ministers, a very interesting question. We will get to this, but before that, Asel, what's happening at the moment? It kind of tells me one thing, that the Jeenbekov's frustration against Atambayev seems to be way deeper than power plant scandal or some other smaller corruption issues there. It sounds to me that he wants to settle a score here. Mm-hmm. He might have done it regardless whether Atambayev retires from politics or not. It appears to me he's very angry about something which is connected to his past with Atambayev.
Yeah, I was asking myself this question as well. What could have forced Jeenbekov to act this way? Taking into consideration that his victory was not just partly, but I don't know, maybe fully owned to Atambayev. So I think that this threshold, this important moment of when they fell out with each other, maybe happened when Atambayev would simply not leave the politics after Jeenbekov election, but would continue commenting on his decisions, would continue being present heavily in the public life by, again, this involvement into the SDPK party and stuff like that. So I think this should be something that happened there at this level, at this moment, where Jeenbekov simply was probably hurt that Atambayev is not respecting him as a legitimate new president of the country. And although Jeenbekov has a very reserved character in public, but maybe this is how he's taking the revenge. It's a kind of, you know, we don't know for sure. It's just some speculations that we're trying to guess here in order to explain why indeed there is this kind of anger. I think his actions are informed, are motivated by the anger.
So what's your take, Meditor Bruce? Does it sound like a revenge to you guys?
Well, from my point of view, I agree with Asel that it's maybe not necessarily maybe the revenge to something which happens in the past, but maybe the way by now ex-president Atambayev treats the incoming president, that's something which seems to be inappropriate, not only publicly, but for Jeenbekov personally. Even in that notorious spring SDPK convention meeting and press conference when Atambayev was mentoring the incoming president, saying, well, I can say as an older person to the incoming president, so-so and so, that can look like a bit too much for a person who has been elected, basically, and who is having the highest position, basically, in the country. And in that sense, whatever has been happening in the past, maybe it was neutral, but I think this tonality somehow has been dangerous, not only generally for the functioning president, but also personally to Jeenbekov.
Bruce, so in this circumstances, we are talking about revenge, you know, anger about something might have happened in the past and whatever. So in this circumstances, will trial, the court procedures, allegations, would any of them be really legitimate when it's taken in this situation against the people who are accused or who are detained, who might be detained going forward?
I think there's going to be some people out there who are always going to believe that that's the case. Clearly, the burden of proof here has never been more important than it is at the moment. If you're going to take some of these people, put Sapar Isakov and some of these other people on trial, you have to have ironclad evidence that people inside Kyrgyzstan and outside Kyrgyzstan are going to believe, you know, before you even want to try anything like that. Otherwise, it really is going to look like it's some kind of political vendetta that's going on here instead.
Yeah, we also have to end our discussion today. So where is this struggle, this power struggle, is leading Kyrgyzstan, Asel?
Well, good question. But being a little bit pessimistic, I think, lately, and already having our past dependency, I don't know if I can be hopeful that this is something more than just revenge and cleaning up the space for maneuvering for the new elite. I would like to hope that this is something more, that this indeed fight against corruption. But for that, we would need to see that Jeenbekov and his government are putting in jail many other members of elites who've been notorious for corruption, like, for example, Matreimov, right, who has the nickname of Matreim Million. But for the moment, the selectiveness of this fight of, against corruption is rather indicative that it's just a mere political fight, elite struggle, and nothing else. Yeah, but that's me being a little pessimistic lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the political fight and struggle. Made it the same question to you. So where is this leading the country?
Maybe I would remind the audience what has been mentioning today is that it's we don't need to forget about this upcoming 2020 parliamentary elections, and that it's 2 years time. It's already a feasible horizon for someone to think about all events in that perspective as well. And similarly for Jeenbekov, it's a way how to reconfigure the power base and loyalty base, and how to think of himself as a person who can control something in the new parliament after the elections, and was and how he can rely on SDPK, or what his party power base would be if not SDPK. And something of ongoing now corruption challenges may seems to be looked as a strategy towards that as well. And another aspect, just a second point, is that he came elected as a winner last year with no clear program, basically. And of course, the anti-corruption campaign, as for any other previous president, seems to be the key point. But seemingly, he is now trying to find his image, because he came unprepared, basically, for the position of the president. And what he's been doing at the moment with this corruption or anti-corruption campaign, so-called, it seems to be maybe for him a way to try to build his own image, what he is as a president. Although, of course, he's not very much outspoken, he's reserved and so forth and so forth. But in terms of practical legacy, if you think about this and in that way, maybe well, that's what he's trying to look at. And then maybe he's trying to meet two ends together, on one side to build the power base, on the other side trying to build his own image as a president in the first year of his presidency.
Bruce, let's end the discussion with you. So what do you see? What will come out of this?
Well, sooner or later, someone's going to have to answer for what happened at the power plant and some of these other things. You know, it's really up to, I suppose, ultimately, Jeenbekov, the way it looks, how high they're willing to go before they do this. You know, in his favor, he's still got a lot of cards he can play if he's worried about his own popularity. You know, I mentioned earlier that he could amnesty some of these officials who were thrown in jail when Atambayev was in. He's already eased off on the media. You know, there was all those fines, exorbitant fines that were leveled against some of these media outlets and journalists and by them, you know, independently. And so he's already done that. And, you know, he can also do something to repair relations with Kazakhstan. I have a feeling the Kazakh government is watching very, very closely what's going on here. They're probably not unhappy with what's going on either, given some of Atambayev's comments last October and November. But, you know, so this is something else. You know, he can mend ties with Kazakhstan and all of a sudden convince Kazakhstan to give them that $100 million they were planning on giving him until Atambayev started going off against individual Kazakh officials and the Kazakh government in general. I agree with Medit that we don't really know what his policies are at the moment. But again, as I said earlier, battling corruption is something that's always going to appeal to the people of Kyrgyzstan. And for what it's worth, he really does seem to be doing a fairly good job of it. And I really appreciated the fact that he said, you know, no one's above the law, and that includes my family and my friends, and which hasn't been the case in the past in Kyrgyzstan.
Okay, thank you very much, Bruce Fanier, the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. Big thanks goes to our guests from Bishkek, Dr. Medit Tolganov, Department Chair and Professor at the American University of Central Asia, Dr. Esel Dowlat Keldiva, Senior Lecturer at the Kyrgyz Turkish University, Manas. Thank you very much for your time and thoughts today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis Radio for Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.